Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Thursday. Finally. And this is your nigga, Just Ask a Nigga, represented by your favorite nigga, Stacey Johnson. And today is Just Ask a Nigga Black History. Right? Tonight we're going to be talking about Malcolm X and his beautiful self and his beautiful contribution to beautiful black people. And you know what? Just like Snoop went off on Gayle today, Snoop said it all for me. And Snoop put it in such good terms. You know, Gayle want to talk about, you know, Lisa Leslie. She talking with Lisa Leslie about basketball, whatever. Gayle want to bring up Kobe 20 years ago when he 18 or 20 or some shit, how he done messed up 20 years ago. After Kobe's lived a wonderful life with his beautiful wife and made these four beautiful kids, he done died with one of them. But this bitch got to bring up 20 years ago. So Snoop, my nigga, from the, you know, the South Central L.A., we don't play, bro. You know, and everybody loves Kobe. And nobody want to, well, you know. And so Snoop went off on, you know, on Gayle, and I hate to say this, I hate to say, but I'm going to say, use da-da-da-da, B-I-T-C-H. You know, but Snoop said, you know what, we's the worst. That's just how he said, we the worst. We the worst. We the worst. Yeah. We the worst. Black people are the worst against black people. Right? And then somebody come flashing some shit where Gayle and Oprah, and me personally, Oprah's gay. Let's just, Oprah's gay. And Gayle is her girlfriend. Let's just put it out there. If people would just be who they are, trust me, I have three kids. I know it's hard being gay. It's hard being a pimp, okay? It is hard being a pimp. But you got to do it. Okay? So for you to go out there and smear bemirch, or whatever that white people word is, the merch, I forget. I watch them all day and can't use their language. But for you to fuck with Kobe like that and everybody loving Kobe and his wife is his beautiful wife that he has been with and have and gave birth to beautiful children long after this little shit he got caught up, because every black man gonna get caught up, right, once. That's why my little nigga over there in jail right now, Mr. Puddin' Man. We all, if black people would understand that you're not white, then you will start to live your life in a way to know that there's targets on your back, you know. But for Gayle to come out and do this, then Snoop was like, ah, you wrong for this. But we are the worst. We the worst. We come after each other worse than, and Snoop said, I don't see you going after Harvey Weinstein, bitch. And they start posting pictures, but you coming after dead-ass Kobe. And just like Lisa Leslie said, you had all these years while he was alive, okay, since you want to talk about it. You had all these years while this man, this young, beautiful man that God took away from us, at a point where he was trying to be a good man. And Lord knows black people don't need good black men. Take Jordan. Okay, why? Nah, you took Kobe. So Gayle need to shut her ass up. Or tell me what you've been doing with Oprah. Why are you on TV? Who are you, bitch? Well, how you get on TV? Because you Oprah's girlfriend. So just stop. We are the worst. When you tell me what you and Oprah doing in your bed, then maybe, you know, Kobe will come back from the dead, bitch, and tell us all about what he did 20 years ago. That's some bullshit, and yes, we are the worst. So I'm here trying to be the best. And one thing about being the best and being black like Snoop did, you know, you do it nigga style. If you Snoop, you Snoop. You ain't going to write her a dissertation. You're not going to give her all the psychological reasons why she should not have done that. You just going to call her out because you Snoop. But, yeah, we the worst. And when we see the worst in us, we need to call that shit out. And I call it out all the time. We're in business. For my business, I call a nigga out all the time. And I say, you know what? It's only black people that say they're going to pay an invoice and you still waiting a week. I don't have this problem out of white people, and 99.99% of my clients are white. Only a nigga going to make me wait. Either you going to get it done, nigga, or you not. And I'm not doing it until you pay the invoice. All the white people seem to understand that. We the worst. So I'm here trying to get some knowledge to black people and some help. And today, by the grace of Jesus, the Jesus Donald Trump don't like, and yo nigga, yo politics will be tomorrow, and how he, you know what, just hold on, just hold on and pray, because I even had the craziest of days today. You know, it's just crazy shit going on. So we just need to be in ourselves and try to get some self-love and some cooperation out of people out here in the world, because life is tough for everybody. Ain't nobody sliding but these motherfuckers we see on TV. Okay? You and me, we not sliding. So we need to try to work with each other, love each other, support each other, do what we can do to bring each other up. Shit. So I believe at 10:30 tonight, I'm going to be posting Yo Nigga Yo Psychology to help your mental, because I love you and your brain. But we're here to talk about Malcolm X, people that came before us trying to show us before. Uh-oh. Ooh, did I hit some keys? Did we mess up? No. People that came before us that, you know, before they knew all, we just going to all get killed and shit. We didn't know y'all was tripping like that, right? The 60s didn't know no niggas was tripping like. Well, damn, we can't bring our people up now? Well, you tripping like that, you got to kill me type shit? That's Malcolm. Malcolm had a lot of different issues because, of course, part of the Nation of Islam, right? He becomes the face, right, of the Nation of Islam, born in Omaha, Nebraska. Where is that? That's way up there. That's Nebraska? I don't know no niggas from Nebraska. Okay? Omaha, Nebraska. Okay? Born Malcolm Little. See, the X came off once he realized, oh, that's my slave name. Right? X came off once he adopted his little lifestyle of a Muslim and wanted to live that Nation of Islam type stuff. Always good intention. So, you know, we got the Panthers over here trying to bring a nigga up around the same time. They like no religion, just a whole lot of weed. Okay, they trying to bring a nigga up. Here's Malcolm, a Muslim, right? Black Muslim, trying to bring a nigga up. You know, so at that time, we were very blessed in the 60s. The 60s was a time of blessing, okay, for black people. Because there were that generation of young black men back then, those days, right? Whether they were slanging weed or not, okay? Because most of the black families were nothing but drug dealers and gang members and shit. But they loved black people. So it really don't make a difference. You know, that judgment. And when we can live, let go of the judgment and look at the heart, then we doing good as a black person, as an individual, as a human being. But Malcolm was a Muslim and a criminal at first, right? We all saw X, right? We all saw X, that little cute little Spike Lee movie, that cute little Spike, about my height, 5'2", if not shorter, right? We all saw X. So he grew up in a family. His dad was a preacher, right? Part of the nationalist Marcus Garvey movement, and we're going to talk about Marcus Garvey because we need some more Marcus Garvey-type thinking, okay? And I really, if I look at my timeline on my Facebook page, I was all about black nationalism, okay? So black nationalism, oh, we can't say that. Black nationalism basically says I'm black and I got a permanent position in this America, in this United States of America. So I'm gonna do like the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. I'm gonna produce a platform that services my black people. That's black nationalism. See, we tried that shit, and they was like, oh, no, you're going to be the Democrat or Republican, nigga. Ain't going to be no black nationalism, nothing, because we're going to kill everybody. So I'm still down with black nationalism. And it's not that I don't love America, but I love black people, and I'm wise enough to know that there would be no America without black people. And so there should be some onboard automatic black person industrial complex. Okay, there should be some Native American Native American industrial complex where we got a program systems in place to help these people that we mistreated, that we took from. We got a complex of programs. Them. I mean, they do with the, with our American Indians, but they fuck them whenever they think it's necessary. Okay, so let me get to talking because I think I only made this show an hour. So Malcolm X was all about his dad. I mean, that's what he grew up in his home. That's what he heard as a child. Black nationalism. America owes black people something, so there should be a system in place, a real system, not the NAACP. That's still got N in it. We ain't N no more. What is that? I mean, come on, man. And My Brother's Keeper, I hear that a lot. Oh, we did My Brother's Keeper. Yeah, well, one of my friend's kids is part of My Brother's Keeper, and that little nigga stay in more trouble than a nigga that ain't in My Brother's Keeper. So it's all about the looking like you helping a nigga, see? It ain't about results, because when I tried to get grants, when I was the Association of African American Single Mothers, they said, oh, you can't get a grant because you don't have no results, and your results need to be on paper. It's like, oh, okay, well, let me spend my own money and try to get my own results. They play games with us. So this is the time where people weren't playing games. Malcolm wasn't playing no game with himself and even with his Muslim religion. He wasn't playing games because he is out there following our dude, and he out there having babies with all his little chicks, all his little teenage chicks. So let's get to the details. Malcolm Little, born May 19th, 1925, from Earl Little, that's his dad, and Louise Norton Little, that's his mom. Okay, so his dad was part of the Marcus Garvey nationalism movement, whatever, and was very prominent in that movement. So always stayed a target of something called these white niggas was called the Black Legion. Although they were white, and they were just going after people. See, the thing about America is that you just can't leave us alone and just let us figure it out. You got to go after motherfuckers that, oh, I figured it out, and now let me help my people. I figured it out. So that's the thing that get me. You just can't leave a nigga alone. Just like Malcolm X's daddy, you had to just keep going after him until you finally, found him on the railroad track dead. You know, and I think they had 8 kids in that family. He had 7 other siblings. So he already black with 7 other siblings. His dad's trying to make a better way, just like everybody's dad. My dad, some shit I heard about my dad. My dad was like an under nigga. He was like, nah, I know what they gonna do to us if we do this. So we gonna do this on the under. Yeah, cause I'm not gonna die cause I'm trying to be free. Back in those days. Real, real, though. So the Black Legion was some white niggas going out there fucking with people like Malcolm X's daddy because they were following the teachings of Marcus Garvey. So we're going to have Marcus Garvey. We're going to profile Marcus Garvey in the next couple of days, sometime before this time next week. Okay? So, yeah, they finally killed his dad. fucked up the family. Mom went crazy, had to be institutionalized. And then all the kids went all to every foster home. So they all became orphans. So what happens in foster homes, especially for little black kids back in those days, what, the 30s and 40s and 50s? What? You can imagine. So, of course, he became a, got some buddies, became criminal, end up in jail, 10-year sentence for some shit, well, for which he served 7. But during that time, see, it's the prison experience that changed his life. During that time, he was able to communicate with his bro, his older brother, who was already a part of the Nation of Islam, and so gave him some information. So while he was there, he studied, he did all this good shit. Because for him, I guess jail was not fun and a place he did not want to return to. Okay, and so learned a lot about it. So once he came out, you know, he really worked for the Nation of Islam. Changed, took off the Little as his last name, took on the X, and then became, over time after that, he really became the face of the Nation of Islam for Elijah Muhammad, for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, right? Honorable, having sex with teenagers and giving them babies. So we got some video, and now on the website, I believe we're in the last couple of, like, hour stages. We have a Black History tab now at sfjfamilieservices.org where you can read along, see some videos that we're listening to. Hopefully we can listen to these videos while I'm playing them here. But you can read some history. There's also a link when it's at the bottom of each column. We feature who we're featuring now. And our next feature will be the Freedom Rider. So we're uploading Freedom Rider stuff right now. Because this your nigga. You know, I love my nigga. Woo! Shit, I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for these niggas. And you wouldn't be who you are today, if you know it or not. Okay? And white people wouldn't be so quick to marry your ass either if you didn't have a little bit of these very wonderful, very strong, very courageous, very I love my blackness and I'm just not going to be treated like shit because I know how this country was created. And it was from the blood, sweat, tears, and forced sex. Why we got so many beautiful shades of brown? Forced sex. Nobody want to talk about that. Because if they started talking about that, then they'd have to start talking about a whole bunch of other shit. But this is your nigga. And this is your Black History Month. 29 days this year in 2020. God love you. I love you. And we're going to take a break, boo, because mama got to go to the pot. So let's play some slow rollouts. That's my old nigga shit, dude, my nigga call. He love that shit. And I haven't played that in a while. So this is your nigga. Okay? This is your show where I will always tell you the best about every black person that came before us. Because if it wasn't for those black people that came before us, guess what, nigga? You'd be sweating hot and getting raped. America is silly. Look at today. Imagine today times 10. If Donald Trump could do what he wanted, your ass would be picking cotton. Probably weed right now. I don't know what we'd be picking, but this is our country, man, and it's because of people like this. We can be proud to be black. I don't care about your religion. He chose Muslim because that's what appealed to him at the time in his life. God bless Malcolm X. He's looking at us, and happy he ain't here. So this your nigga. This is your black history. This is your American history, and we will be back very soon. Let's see, in 3 minutes and 29 seconds, boo. Mm-hmm. Mother of three children and three beautiful grandsons, and I am I'm in construction, which is kind of weird and kind of fell into it, but I like it because it's all bros and I love the bros. I do stuff like I teach OSHA, so I'm certified to teach OSHA. If you have never had or heard about that, that's the Occupational Safety and Health Administration of the United States, actually Nixon, of all crooked niggas, okay? Speaking of crooked niggas, Nixon came up with, that's why the Trump ain't like, impeachment, and at some point we're going to talk about all the three impeachments we've had in this country. But Nixon actually did some really good things for America. OSHA, making sure workers go to work and can't be poisoned and get cancer, right? You know what that is. All your hard hats and shit. That's OSHA. That's Nixon. Clean Air Act and shit. That's Nixon. So just because you get impeached and you try to rob a little, and, you know, you try to get a little inside on the robbing for your next election, that don't necessarily mean you hate your country or you're treasonous or you awful, but it does in this current nigga's case. Okay? So let's vote him way far out, send him back to doing whatever he did before all this shit started. They're getting the hookers and all that. Send him back to getting hookers, and he looks awful. Okay, he's getting more orange by the day. God did not make you to spray shit. That your skin, people, just so you know, your skin is a living organ. It breathes. It does stuff. So you can't clog it up with a whole bunch of not natural shit just because you want to be pretty. Okay? So keep that in mind. So we're talking about Malcolm X. He was so pretty and handsome, wasn't he? Oh, my God. So handsome. So we talked about, we're going to get back with him and what we're doing about Malcolm. And so after he got out of prison, right, he really started talking for the organization. He really became a voice for the organization and became the national spokesman for the Nation of Islam. And his charge, what he was charged to do, and that's why he became, why during that time you saw him on TV, all kind of stuff, because he was charged to open up new mosques in states like Detroit, Michigan, Harlem, New York. And he used newspaper columns as well as radio and television to communicate the Nation of Islam's message. And so he became very popular. And so during the time that he was the voice, basically, of the Nation of Islam, the membership went from 500 members in 1952 to over 30,000 members in 63 because of him. And so he became a media magnet. Everybody wanted to talk to Malcolm. He had Mike Wallace in 1959 called a series with Mike Wallace, and it was called The Hate That Produced Hate. Okay, so, you know, Malcolm X wasn't like Martin Luther King in no way, shape, or form. Okay, he was more like, you know, you come after me, I'm going to come after you type shit. You know, he was the one with the chickens come home to roost, right? He said that when Kennedy got killed, the chickens come home to roost. Okay, and so at that same time, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was having problems with Malcolm X, because at that same time, that's when Malcolm found out through Elijah Muhammad's son now. So you know he was telling the truth, right? Your son tell you some shit. The nigga's son's telling you. That ain't easy. I doubt that that's hearsay. He probably done tapped a few of them himself. So the son is saying, hey, my dad is having sex with all these girls, and he actually had 8 kids with 6 of them. So Elijah is out there tripping, okay? And Malcolm X, the spokesperson for the organization, finds out, and he's kind of, he's really shaken, of course. His dude supposed to be, you know, he represents this dude. He honors him. He that's like his father figure. And he finds out, and the funny story is, this same nigga, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is telling Malcolm X to be celibate. It's better to be celibate. You know how that nigga talks. While I'm boinking all these young chicks. So the honorable Malcolm X was celibate the whole time. He was dating and getting to know Miss Betty Shabazz. He didn't ever have sex with his wife that he died with. Because this nigga that's having sex with all these kids telling him, oh, you know, you'd be more, you know, toward, you know, our Islamic, you know, our shit. We don't do that. So don't have sex with this beautiful woman you're about to marry. And he didn't until he got married. So once he found out that dude was doing all this shit, he was heartbroken. He's like, I gotta go. I can't do this. I can't. And at the same time, because Malcolm was getting so popular, of course, who comes in? Who fucks it up for everybody? The FBI, right? Because he's getting popular. Black people are following him. People are joining this organization. He's getting bigger and bigger. And so, of course, they put FBI spies put in, infiltrate, put a little undercovers in the Nation of Islam. And, of course, we know Nation of Islam fools, were responsible for his death. So, before he died, you know, he did come to the realization that the blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white man was not his enemy, which was a good thing to come to. And now what I want to do is play, hopefully we can hear this really well. Again, Malcolm X was totally different from Martin Luther King. He wasn't going for that nonviolent resistance stuff. You know, it's like, you try to kill me, I'm going to get you first. You know, and that's me. I mean, yeah, you want to try to come after me? I think I'm gonna come after you first. Or some, just like today. Today was crazy. At the end of the show, I'm going to tell you how crazy today was. I had to get into my psychology and to my Jesus all at the same time. Just going to get some, just trying to get some beer and some salmon. That's all. So, yeah, let's play Malcolm X's fiery speech addressing police brutality. And I believe this will be uploaded on our website, SFJ, as in yo nigga, sfjfamilieservices.org. So let's try to take a listen at this, and then we'll continue from there. Things have really been acting crazy today, so let's see if we can do this. Okay, hold on. The two Muslim brothers were questioned, and then they got shot. So here we go.
Of the events that have taken place here in Los Angeles recently, we have to go to the root. We have to go to the cause. Dealing with the condition itself is not enough, and it is because of our effort toward getting straight to the root that people oftentimes think we are dealing in hate. We are oppressed. We are exploited. We are downtrodden. We are denied not only civil rights, but even human rights. So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against the common enemy. Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask yourself, who taught you to hate being what God made you? And I, for one, as a Muslim, believe that the white man is intelligent enough. If he were made to realize how black people really feel and how fed up we are without that old compromising sweet talk. Stop sweet talking. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how or what kind of hell you've been catching, and let him know that if he's not ready to clean his house up, if he's not ready to clean his house up, he shouldn't have a house. Should catch on fire and burn down.
All right. So that's, as far as I'm concerned, the Honorable Malcolm X. And, right. Who taught you how to hate your people? Because, I mean, look at us. At that time, when he was around, I don't think I was one. I was not a year old when he died. I don't believe so. So, yeah. I mean, we as a black people, we need to go to what these type of people, you know, what these brothers was trying to help us with at the time when, yeah, we at this time, you got to think, early 60s, right? We just got the civil rights. We just got the civil rights, and then getting the civil rights was a bitch. Okay, so getting the civil rights was a bitch. So, but again, our brother Malcolm, he himself had to do something that he probably never thought he had to do for his own people. He was faced with a situation where his leader, and probably a lot of leaders that are following these faith church people, right, where his leader, he found out his leader was, you know, doing things contrary to his own teaching. So during his life, he had to break away from that, which he did, and he started Muslim Mosque Inc. that he intended to lead his own congregation, because he broke away because he felt so bad, because once he found out of the truth of Elijah Muhammad, he was the reason why so many people were joining the Nation of Islam, because of him. And so when he realized he was teaching people, you know, the teachings of this dude that's out there being so wrong, he felt a personal obligation and a personal sickness within himself that he had to declare that it was just wrong. And then, of course, because the institution, being the Nation of Islam, right, set him up, bought him a house, right, got him all set up, got him all set, so you're not going to go against the motherfucker that got you a house, right? Oh, but he did. And so he exposed Elijah Muhammad. And that was pretty much his downfall. He already had people in his group that were FBI informants, you know, telling his actions, what he's doing, what he's talking about, what he's, you know, what's going on. Nation of Islam was very, you know, powerful now that he made it powerful. And now he's gone. And now they come after him. So, long story short, they bomb his house, don't kill him and his family. And after that time, you know, he starts to go around, you know, with bodyguards and stuff. But it doesn't take him very long. But during his transition as from a black Muslim to preaching and teaching and spewing all this, hey, white man, bad, blue eyes, blonde hair, bad, 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 he goes to Mecca, and he has his journey in Mecca, and then he understands that, and quote his words, the blonde hair, blue eyed man, I can now call my brother. So he was able to do that and transform his life before he left the earth. Okay, and so he was no longer speaking towards just for African Americans or black Americans or Negroes at the time. He was speaking, or his messages were more so after he came back from that journey in Mecca, more so for all of us, all the races. Okay, so at this time, yes, Elijah Muhammad, he'd already exposed this nigga for who he was. So it was only a matter of time, you know. Malcolm didn't have what Elijah Muhammad had, plus all the niggas that were still in the Nation of Islam that did not transition with Malcolm X. So he had repeated attempts on his life, of course, right? That's what they did back then. Nigga, I'm going to kill you. I'm just going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. So on Valentine's Day, February 14, 1965. Okay, y'all having a Valentine's Day dinner, Mr. and Mrs. X, Betty Shabazz, and Mr. X, you having a nice little Valentine's dinner? Boom, bang, firebomb. And that was February 14, 1965. Didn't kill him, didn't hurt the family, but unfortunately, just a fucking week later. Right? The Audubon. Everybody knows what the Audubon is. The Audubon. That's where they got him. Speaking, preaching, trying to liberate his brothers and sisters. And they killed him. And three folks shot him pretty much right in his face, point blank. 15 bullets, dead. And there goes Malcolm X. There's another black man trying to lead us to help ourselves, to teach us, to teach each other, and to help ourselves. And who gets them? Like Snoop Dogg say, we the worst. We the worst. So, yeah, Nation of Islam, nigga. Get it. So I have no respect for Farrakhan, because that nigga knows exactly. What happened to Malcolm X? The Nation of Islam would have been, I would have joined the Nation of Islam by now if this nigga Malcolm X would have still been the leader. You better believe it. Farrakhan? So now we're going to play some shit, a little 8-minute riff for our brother Malcolm that we love and that he sacrificed his life to make black people better. He didn't care about no religion. He wasn't trying to convert you. He was just trying to show you. So this is Malcolm X on a little front page where a whole bunch of white people, right? A whole bunch of white people get together and ask him a bunch of questions. I like that. So let's see if we can play this one, and then we're going to end the show with this, and we'll be right back. Let's listen.
Sir, what's the real reason why you two men split? Is it merely ideological, or is it personality? What else?
Probably personality. It was not the statement that originally was given by the movement when we split. More personality than anything.
You've called people like Martin Luther King, who just got a Nobel Peace Prize, an Uncle Tom. Is that correct, first?
Well, I'd rather say that in the States, there's a law that has recently been passed or a decision handed down by the court, wherein if you call someone an Uncle Tom, they can sue you for libel.
Well,
so I never refer to them as Uncle Tom, but I would say that Uncle Martin is my friend.
Uncle Martin is your friend, yet you would disagree with his approach to what he wants to accomplish.
Definitely. If his approach would bring about what the black man in America needs to completely eliminate the problem that we have, I would say well and good. But I very much doubt that anyone who adopts the approach that Martin Luther King has been teaching to our people in that country can point to any meaningful gains that have actually served to solve the problem.
Black Muslims have sometimes, whether you have or not, and I think probably you have sometimes, it seemed to me, been preaching hate to meet hate.
I don't advocate any kind of hate.
There's a lot of talk that sounds very much like it.
No, I think that the guilt complex of the American white man is so profound until when you begin to analyze the real condition of the black man in America, instead of the American white man eliminating the causes that create that condition, he tries to cover it up by accusing his accusers of teaching hate. But actually, they're just exposing him for being responsible for what he did.
Well, that's something of an argument. But I've heard speeches made by some of the people of your group. I think I've heard you make speeches. It seemed to me that you were advocating what I would have to describe, I think, as violence to meet the serious injuries that have been done your people, with which I totally agree.
I don't call that violence. I don't in any way encourage black people to go out and initiate acts of aggression indiscriminately against whites. But I do believe that the black man in the United States, and any human being, anywhere, is well within his right to do whatever is necessary, by any means necessary, to protect his life and property, especially in a country where the federal government itself has proven that it is either unable or unwilling to protect the lives and property of those human beings.
Just before Pierre takes it, you've got a pretty good fighter and the world's heavyweight champion lined up with you to help out. Yes, Pierre. Mr. X, I guess I call you that. Is that the proper appellation,
yes.
Mr. X? I'm wondering if you still believe, as I think you certainly did at the time you were allied to the Black Muslim movement, in a segregated black nation
no.
in North America.
I don't believe in any form of segregation or any form of racism. I'm against any form of segregation and against racism.
Am I right in saying that the black Muslim movement, which you have left, did believe in that?
Well, Elijah Muhammad taught his followers that the only solution was a separate state
yeah.
for black people. And as long as I thought he genuinely believed that himself, I believed in him and believed in his solution. But when I began to doubt that he himself believed that that was feasible, and I saw no kind of action designed to bring it into existence or bring it about, then I turned in a different direction.
Are you still a Muslim yourself?
Oh, yes. I'm a Muslim. I believe in the religion of Islam, which believes in brotherhood, complete brotherhood of all people. But at the same time that I believe in this brotherhood, I don't believe in forcing my desire for brotherhood upon those who aren't willing to accept it.
I think the Christians would say that they also believe in brotherhood. What would you say to that?
I'd say they believe in it, but don't practice it.
That's a pretty good answer. Sir, when the muezzin goes up in the minaret twice a day, he cries to the world, there is but one God, and he is Allah. Do you deny that there is a Christian God?
The muezzin does this five times a day.
Five times, and I only heard him twice.
Well, you were fortunate to hear him twice. But he does this five times a day, and the same God that he says, that he expresses the existence of, is the God that the Christians profess to believe in themselves, and the God that the Jews believe in, one God, the creator of the universe. The Muslims believe in the God that created the universe, and I think the Christians do, and the Jews do. Now, as long as all of them are talking about the creator, the Jews may call him Jehovah, and Christians may have another name for him. Those who are Arabic-speaking refer to him as Allah. Well, we believe in the same God.
Now, as the Muslim religion advances in the United States, are you modernizing it or sticking with the old faiths? For example, the complete segregation of the sexes.
I think that everything today on this earth is being modernized. Religious principles and practices, as well as political and other things.
Now, when you went to Mecca, this is a very sacred and forbidden city. I tried to get to Mecca myself and certainly didn't make it, not being a Muslim, but how would they accept you as one? You're an American. There are few American Muslims.
This is true. And by being an American and not having not being able to speak the Arabic language, I did strike a snag, a very serious snag. But I was fortunate to have been pretty well known by the officials in Arabia, and they knew too that I had accepted Orthodox Islam. It had been highly publicized in the paper, and I became a guest of the state. I was a guest of Prince Faisal, the present King Faisal, and they made it possible for me to go before the committee, Hajj committee or Hajj court, who examines you and asks you questions about your belief. And if you pass it, then you are okay to go to Mecca.
But you would have to have a translator then.
I had one. Then realizing that our problem in America, that we are Black Americans and we have a problem that goes beyond religion, we formed a group known as the Organization of Afro-American Unity. And the objective of this organization, it's non-religious, number one. Any Negro can belong to it. And the objective of that organization is to bring about a condition that will guarantee respect and recognition of the 22 million Black Americans as human beings. We feel that the problem, number one, of the Black man in America is beyond America's ability to solve. It's a human problem, not an American problem or a Negro problem. And as a human problem or a world problem, we feel that it should be taken out of the jurisdiction of the United States government and the United States courts and taken into the United Nations in the same manner that the problems of the Black man in South Africa, Angola, and other parts of the world, and even the way they're trying to bring the problems of the Jews in Russia into the United Nations because of violation of human rights. We believe that our problem is one not a violation of civil rights, but a violation of human rights. Not only are we denied the right to be a citizen in the United States, we're denied the right to be a human being.
Mr. X, may I thank you very much for coming on our program and perhaps clearing away some of the cobwebs of misconception that some of us might have had about your belief. And I think you're a very sincere man, and it takes a lot of courage to admit a former belief is wrong, and we congratulate you for that and the service you've performed tonight in giving us your views. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, so you see how they cut off Mr. X. I'm like, whoa, okay, Mr. X. Well, thank you for coming tonight, and, you know, we respect a man that can say he wrong, and thank you, Mr. X. So, you see why Spike Lee made that motherfucking movie? So all you little knuckleheads get to understand that before you even came here, that people like Mr. X that can pave the way for you to be a dummy, okay? All of our heroes, especially the ones that I'm featuring, Black Panthers, wasn't for them, your little ass wouldn't get that morning breakfast at school, and then Mr. X, right? By any means necessary. So many more, so we're going to feature them all. So tomorrow we're going to be talking about the Freedom Riders. See, and the Freedom Riders wasn't just niggas. They were niggas and all their friends. They were niggas that were bold, see. We don't have no bold niggas today. We don't have no bold niggas today. You know, and we need bold leadership. We don't need you you know, marching in the street. We need people that can wield their power and make a big difference for us. March in the street. If you're marching in the street, make sure you got that letter that went out to the black person with power and say, hey, look, I'm getting ready to march in the street. But you already there? Because if I was there and if I was you, this is what I would do. But right now, I'm just going to, all I can do is march in the street. Well, write your letter. And I am going to begin to write letters, and I'm going to post them on sfjfamilieservices.org, because what I'm trying to do is real simple as a nonprofit organization. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm just asking niggas, well, this your nigga, that's why I'm here. Give you some knowledge about your black history, your politics from the perspective of a black person who, for, again, I'm 55, and I've just been waiting for all the goodness of the civil rights movement to kick in for me, and it hasn't yet. I'm 55, and so, you know, I'm almost of retirement age, right? But I work for myself, so I'm, you know what I'm saying? So, me as an individual, I've lived a great, wonderful, beautiful life. I've been so blessed in ways I don't even know why. And so that's why I'm here doing what I do, try to spit a little knowledge in. And, too, visit sfjfamilieservices.org. Because, yeah, my goal is to teach some knuckleheads that want to know what I know. And I know enough to have me sit at home and chill out and learn construction to where people call me and they need stuff. And you know what? I need to do a whole lot. And I'm the marketing and advertising person, and I suck. So, you know, I love helping people. That's what this is all about. That's what it's always been about. I look at my Blog Talk shit, 12,000 whatever listens. Who is listening to me 12,000 times? But you know what? People love people that want to show love and give help. Hey, and so at 10:30 tonight, zip back up. We're going to be talking about, now that's our next show, Yo Nigga, Yo Psychology. And we're going to finish up our social psychology so we can get into prejudice. But this is Yo Nigga. And this is Malcolm X. He loved you. I love talking about him, because what more can you give than your life for your people? My God, what more can you give than your life for your people? This motherfucker gave his life for us. So learn from him. Listen to him. Things ain't changed. He loved you. I love you. And hit me up in about 2 hours, boo. Yo nigga, your psychology. But right now, this is Just Asking Nigga, Yo Black History. I love you, and I will see you tonight and tomorrow. more can you give in your life, bro? Shit. You know? Shit. You can't get a dollar out of a nigga. You know, and these bros is giving their life in the 60s. The little niggas like us, now grown niggas like us, can be free. Respect that shit. Understand that shit. And be like them. Be like X. I am Malcolm X. That's some good shit.